It is 5:35, which means Toronto Mayor John Tory joins the broadcast. He joins us every day, not every day, but Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Mr. Mayor, it probably feels like every day because you're here a lot, and we appreciate that.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Let's start off with what we've been talking about this afternoon. Toronto City Council voting to award $40 million in tree maintenance contracts to companies that include firms that were criticized by the Auditor General for not doing the work that they were being paid for. Let's start off with why these companies are under consideration in the first place.
Well, I did hear you discussing this, so I had the opportunity to kind of know how we could go through this. First of all, you know, contrary to what you said, there aren't unlimited numbers of companies that can do this work and that have the equipment. You know, you need those big buckets that can be lifted up with the trucks and, you know, our own equipment that the city owns. And this just goes back to decisions made years ago that the city wouldn't own all that equipment for looking after its own trees. You can argue about that. We can do 17% of the work that has to be done with the city's own equipment. So we have to go out and hire outside contractors to do the work. And like I said with a lot of things, you know, you guys would have a different show if the work didn't get done. We'll come back to the companies, but if the work didn't get done and a tree fell down because it hadn't been properly looked after, for example, after one of these windstorms we have or whatever, so these trees have to be looked after. There are 20,000 trees that wouldn't get done if we didn't use some of these companies. Now, the next question became, what has been done in response to the Auditor General? They are now going to be operating on such a short leash with people going around watching what they're doing and GPS and all kinds of things that will take what the Auditor General found, which is profoundly regrettable, unacceptable. I condemned it at the time as being, you know, a bad behavior on the part of private sector companies. So they'll be on a very short leash. They're on a very short contract. They're going to be reporting monthly to one of our committees, if it's not monthly, it's quarterly, on exactly what they've done and how their time has been spent and so on and so forth. And the reason we had a hearing in confidence about it yesterday was as well because there's legal negotiations going on to get the money back that they took improperly for work not done. And the advice was between that and the stage that the tender was at, where City Council just approves the awarding of the contract, the entire process before that where people bid in a competitive circumstance is done by public servants, and that we went into confidential session to get legal advice on what our position would be if we tried to cancel the process at that stage. I can't say any more about what the advice was, but I can just say we took legal advice, and you should take note of the fact that the vote was 15-3. And I mean, you surely can't conclude, hopefully not including me, that all of us were idiotic in doing that, but you could maybe draw some conclusions about the advice we got from the lawyers and about getting the trees cut.
I certainly wouldn't say you're idiotic, but I think that the public has a right to question why this is happening.
No question. I'm welcoming your questions. I'm just saying that we listened to advice. We heard of the operational problems, which would mean 20,000 trees not getting pruned, falling down on hydro wires, falling down on people's houses, and so on if they don't get cared for, and that we couldn't do the work ourselves, and there was a limited pool of companies, which went into a competitive bid, and the three companies that were the ones we're negotiating with to get money back were three of the ones that qualified in the bid. Now, you could argue they should have been excluded from the bid, and people have argued that sort of thing, but
then you're dealing with
too limited a number of companies that could do this work.
Okay, but that's my next question, though. You say 17% can be done by the city. That leaves 83% to be done by other companies. How many companies are we looking at here that have the ability to do this job? You mentioned there are three on the list that the Auditor General flagged. So how many other companies are we looking at?
Well, I don't know how many bid, but I think there were six that were awarded parts of the contract yesterday. And when you mentioned the $40 million number, just so people know that are listening, that's over, I think, a 3 or 4 year period. And that's spread across all the different companies. And so I think there were four or five or six companies that got the work yesterday. Not just the three, but the three were among those that bid. Their bids were otherwise qualified, scrutinized by people who look at these things very carefully. And, you know, we got legal advice on the subject of whether you could get to that stage in a process where they qualified and do something other than to, because, you know, the bidding process is meant to be such that those who bid, who are qualified, who bid the lowest amounts are the ones that get the work. And so that's because otherwise what you get is people making judgments about, well, we're not going to pick this guy, but we'll pick that guy. And that's when you get into problems you would also criticize. So this is one of those things. Look, it's a messy situation. It's certainly less than ideal. But I will tell you, we are trying to get the money back, and successfully so. I think we will get it back by negotiation with these same people.
I want to just know, though, the other three companies, let's call them the ones that weren't in the Auditor General's report, could they not have taken on the lion's share of the work so you didn't have to deal with these three companies?
That's part of the problem. There's all different kinds of work, and the answer is no, in the sense that, you know, that there probably is not any of them that are big enough to take it all on or take on a huge chunk of that 83% not done by the city. And so you have to spread the work around, just because, contrary to what you said, I mean, yes, we're a big city, but, you know, there's only so many companies in the tree business that are big enough and have the equipment enough to go and do this kind of work up these great big trees that Toronto's so full of, thank goodness.
So last question on this, just for the yep. layperson listening. So what I'm hearing anyways is that by hiring these same companies to do work that they haven't done before, the hope is that down the road, they're essentially paying us back for work that wasn't done in addition to the work that they're going to be doing.
We are involved in a separate set of negotiations with them about exactly that, getting the money back that shouldn't have been paid for them for work not done. In the meantime, when we put out a tender to say who's going to do this work going forward, they bid and they qualified and they won the bid based on the prices they offered and so on. And so they've got the work, but they're on a very short leash. I mean, these people are going to know there's eyes on them every hour of every day, because that's what the Auditor General and the Audit Committee instructed the Forestry Department to do, to make sure they've given up on that bad behavior.
Okay, so what does it matter then if they're kept on a short leash? Because the punishment is only going to be them being rewarded a contract in the future anyway, because there's no one else.
No, I wouldn't say that, Ryan. I'd say, look, if there's any evidence that they're continuing to behave this way, then, you know, they can be suspended from even bidding by the city. But
then how does the work get done if they're... I mean, six companies and they're the only games in town.
It is a problem that there are limited numbers of companies that have the right equipment and the right expertise to do this work, yes. But, I mean, you know, what we're hoping, obviously, is that they reform themselves, and they reform themselves under very close supervision, and that then the work gets done, because you would be having a lot to say. And I used to sit and say all the same things about these kinds of things as you're now doing, but you'd have a lot to say as well if we didn't prune and keep the trees and they fell down and caused hydro blackouts and cars getting destroyed and houses being damaged because the trees weren't looked after. They've got to get looked after. It's a city of trees.
Let's talk a little bit about something a lot of people are writing about at 7:10:10. You might have seen it on CTV's news at noon today, that being Cafe T.O. starting all of their setups. We're starting to see the lane restrictions that are coming into different neighborhoods. People are saying, you know, we don't even have these restaurants opened up yet. Why are we starting to do this work right now?
Well, you know, you've asked me about that before, but, yeah. I mean, you know, you're sort of, again, same old story. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Right.
I mean, if we waited until they were open, when the provincial orders lifted, and we don't know exactly when that is, the current date, I think, is, what, May the 20th, and then we started installing it and spent 10, 12 days doing that, because it takes time to do what I think are going to be 700 or 800 of these installations, you and certainly the restaurant industry would be critical, saying, well, why didn't they get started on putting in these cafes so that the day that the order was lifted, people could start getting the revenue, the restaurants who are dying, and people could begin to enjoy them. And so we're doing the work now, which was when we were originally scheduled to be doing it. We were scheduled to be doing it now anyway, so it's not as if we're putting them in early and causing people grief. We're putting them in on the schedule we had so that they will be in when the day is lifted, and those struggling restaurants can start to get the money and people can go use them, not 2 weeks later, but, you know, a day later.
We got a number of questions today at 7:10:10 about city dumps and why they're still closed to the public. Some people saying it couldn't be a transmission issue. I mean, you drive down, you dump your stuff, and you're out. Is that the case? And are we any closer to getting them opened?
Well, no, they were just closed. We had them open for a while, but we had some discussions with our officials, and, you know, there's 1,000 cash customers who come every day, and they come, and they, this is as distinct from the industrial customers who come, people bringing renovation junk and whatnot. These are cash customers, individual Torontonians, and there had been infection of some of the workers, and so it was just decided, consistent, by the way, with what happened last spring when we had a more widespread lockdown, that they would be closed for individual residential, as it were, residential cash customers, and they'll be reopened. And we went through that in the spring, and everybody survived. And it's just for the safety of the workers. And it's, look, there's a stay-at-home order in place anyway. I think that was a decision the officials took, which I think was probably the correct one in the circumstances.
How long will they be closed for?
Closed until the order comes off. You know, the order that's on now, the stay-at-home order, which is supposed to come off on when? May the 20th? And as I say, I can't say, only the Premier could tell you if it's going to come off on that day. But if it comes off on that day, we would open these shortly thereafter, just because people will then be able to be out and about. And hopefully by then, it will have been judged that the risk from COVID-19 has been reduced through, you know, both the health practices and vaccination.
Toronto Mayor John Tory, we thank you for your time.
Thanks, guys.